The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. With me today is Dato' Dennis Chua, the founder of Eclimo Sdn Bhd. It is a company that manufactures electric motorbikes. Good morning, Dato', welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Hi, good morning, Joyce. Thanks for inviting me.
Eclimo started off as a green technology R&D company in 2008, and today it is the only company in Malaysia that makes electric motorbikes. Do you actually manufacture it or assemble it?
All right. Just to clarify that Eclimo would actually come from Eco Life Mobility. And when I started doing in 2008, we go into the research of the battery, then the powertrain like the motor, the controller, then only the vehicle. So what we do is that we design the whole vehicle and outsource to a manufacturing partner. So there are a couple of manufacturers in northern area in Malaysia where they manufacture the parts sent to our factory and we assemble it. Then we supply to a customer.
I see. So what made you venture into such a business?
Way back, I'm actually involved into lithium batteries. I started venturing into lithium batteries since year 2000. And because of I do have the lithium batteries, then only I go into the electric vehicle part. So that's how I got the electric motorbikes.
So when you talk about lithium batteries, right, what's in it, these batteries that you make?
Okay, for example, like the standard lithium cells, where I believe everybody heard of Tesla. Tesla actually getting the battery from Panasonic. So Panasonic is actually manufactured the lithium cells. For us, we are the same. We actually get the lithium cells from either Panasonic or Samsung. So one good thing is that Samsung manufactured in Malaysia. And we take it as lithium is a raw materials. When we brought in the raw materials, then we actually manufacture and assemble it in our own plant. So battery is our own IP. And from there, we actually make it into the whole battery pack and power the scooter.
So what is the breakdown in earnings in terms of percentage for these two businesses, like for the scooter and for lithium batteries? And which of the two contribute more to your earnings and where do you see more potential?
Of course, right now, in the beginning, because the battery is our own technology, we have to make into a product. So the product is scooter. But in the beginning, where if, let's say, you are not proven that your battery can go with the EV, then there won't be any other customers who are actually making vehicles would get your supply on batteries. So until today, we are focusing into using our own technologies for the scooter. Perhaps in future, where we already have our scooters on the road for almost coming to 5 years, where it's already proven that the battery works well for the two-wheelers, probably later on we will supply batteries to other cars company or electric car company.
When it comes to your scooters and the lithium batteries, is it half-half for percentage of contribution for the business?
I would say that lithium consists of about batteries of 40% of the vehicle.
Okay, the earnings of your company comes from the batteries.
Okay, so just to verify on the earnings, right now I'm actually talk about the whole scooter.
Yes.
Where our business model is through leasing or rental. So our first customers are fleet customers. Probably you can see that in the market, KFC is using it for our scooter for delivery. So we actually rent it or lease it to KFC when the revenue is actually on the product itself. So it's not where we have customers on supplying the batteries or supplying the scooters. Our product is only one where we actually supply the whole scooter.
How affordable are your electric bikes? Because I understand they're about 18,800 ringgit. Compare that to a local like Kapchai is about 3,000 plus, right? So how affordable do you think this bike is to the people out here who are interested in this? And what is your target market?
In the beginning, for these electric, especially two-wheelers or electric vehicles, the cost of it is definitely more expensive than the combustions. Why? Because combustions already been manufactured for a long, long time and the volume is there. For electric scooters, it's very new. It's just the beginning where the volume is not there. So I would say that we can see that 3 to 5 years down the road, the cost of electric vehicle will be the same as per the combustion vehicle. So today, yes, electric scooters for Aclimo is 18,800 on the road, but this is only like, I only make like 500 units. So I would say that in the near future, like 3 to 5 years, definitely the scooters will be at par with the combustions. But when it comes to combustion, they are... their models ranges from 3,000 plus to maybe 12,000. This is a two-wheelers market. So they have many, many different models, different range. I would say that the average right now in Malaysia, the people like Honda or Yamaha, the average pricing, they are actually selling it for like 8 to 12,000. So not so much on, people are looking more to the lifestyles buy rather than previously during 15 years back where the basic necessity is transport, where they look for 3 to 5,000 bikes. But today, I would say that averagely, it's more onto the 8 to 10,000.
What about maintenance and insurance? How much will that, is that compared to a normal non-electric bike?
Okay, the insurance premium are based on the CC. So for our electric, there is a formulas to convert to equivalent CC. So our scooters equivalent to 125cc. And the premium will be the same as a combustion bike. It is not different where electrics or combustions. So in insurance, everybody paying the same premium. And in terms of the maintenance for electric, we have electric have less parts compared to combustion bikes. So combustion bikes, you just imagine that they have engines to service, like lubricant oil, spark plugs, and whereby electric, you don't need that. Batteries and motor, you don't really need to service it so often. So what we only have is the wear and tear item like tires, brake pads. So service is definitely very, very minimum for electric.
I understand you have a license for to sell the bikes to retail, to the public, but you still focus on a B2B kind of operating model. Why is that?
Okay, of course, first thing we have to appreciate our Malaysian government. 2012, we already have our federal government's approved electric two-wheelers on the road. So what you need to obtain is to get it, to apply from JPJ and send it to Sirim for testing. So once you approve, JPJ will issue a license and you are able to put the bikes on the road to register the normal plates and all that. So since this is 125cc, you need to pay road tax. But the good thing is road tax is only 2 ringgit per year and you need a B2 license to drive it. So it's as normal as the normal combustions. So when it comes to federal government's approval and also support from a number of ministry, we managed to get the act approved for electric two-wheelers, where that is why we can able to put it on the road. And we managed to get our first customer.
Are people buying it? Do you see people buying it?
Okay, so right now our first customer is KFC using it for delivery. We are still very focused into delivery, fleet customers. We have government agencies like PDRM, police is using it. We have our so-called council, the enforcement officers are using it. So far right now, our focusing is into GLCs or government agencies where we have not put it to the market yet. For motorbikes, definitely the market, it's the majorities for Honda and Yamaha. So if you want to go to the consumer market, we must be ready before we enter the consumer market, whereby the investment is still something that is substantial, whereby every state we still need a service center, we still need to prepare spare parts, we still need to have a showroom. So I would say that right now we are not ready for the consumer, but we are very aggressively promoting to the fleet customer.
Any idea when you'll be ready for the consumer?
I would say that at this current model, where we obtain our approval from JPJ, this model, we call it ES11. This model is suitable for the fleet's customer. When you go to the consumer, you will be another models that it's suitable for consumer. So it's in our planning stage, probably within these 2 or 3 years.
And this fleet, you see your customers are more fleet, GLCs, government and all that. What is the appeal to them for these electric motorbikes?
Currently, we do have our continued order from our customer, whereby it's proven that it's actually not only saving in terms of monetary, because of we are leasing it or renting to them, we take care of the maintenance. So they don't have to spend their time on taking care of this vehicle. That's all the problem actually come back to us.
But cost perspective, does that save them cost?
One thing is definitely save them cost. Then we're actually absorbing all the problems that they are facing. And also because of electric vehicle, we have less maintenance. We don't really need the people or the time comparing to the combustion maintenance. This is so much lesser.
And what are your earnings and margins like for this business?
Based on our leasing or rental, we have a very good return. I would say that yearly we will be able to have a return on investment about 20%.
And you have a worldwide patent for your bikes, right? So are you exploring to export these bikes or perhaps use the patent?
Okay, the patent is on the battery. Battery patents is one of the technologies that we develop ourselves. We actually call it as non-spot welded. So, for instance, why we do non-spot welded, this is a technology where when you come to end of life of the battery, meaning that in the beginning when you charge, you can run 100 kilometers. So if let's say every day you run 100 kilometers, 3 years later, your battery energy degrades 30%. You left 70 kilometers. So our agreement with customer, as long as it's actually dropped 70 kilometers, we have to change the battery for them. So we can do that is because our technology is non-spot welded. We actually can take back the battery and change it to a new battery. We just open up the cover and change a new cell and give it to a customer. For instance, that our old cells that we actually take it out from the bike, is actually the energy is still having 70% power. So it can be end of life for the scooter, but the battery cell still at 70%. So there is still a lot of usage to the battery cell, what we call it as second life.
Are you looking to export your bikes?
Definitely, this is a plan. But for now, Malaysia market, we have, I'll say that we still have 11 million registered bikes. And every year, we have like 400 to 450,000 newly registered bikes. So the market for Malaysia is still sizable, where I'm still very much focused into Malaysia.
But out of the bikes, tiny percentage is only electric bikes, right?
Yeah, right now it's all combustions. But for us, it's we're in the beginning of electric. I would say that electric will definitely comes in this coming 2 or 3 years.
I'm speaking to Dr. Dennis Chua, founder and executive director of electric bike manufacturer Alclimo. After this, we'll take a look at the macro platform for electric vehicles and the policies needed in countries to drive the agenda through. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill and my guest today is Dato' Dennis Chua, Executive Director of Eclimo, maker of electric vehicles. Dato', so we were talking about the electric vehicle industry. I mean, the company is turning 10 next year. So how has the operating landscape changed for the industry over the years and where do you think it is today?
For electric vehicle, I believe that everyone's aware of the news where foreign countries, they put in a lot of efforts on gearing up themselves to implement electric vehicles. So I believe that Malaysia is also won't be left out on going into electric vehicles where we're talking about reducing the CO2. These are one of the points that I always remind everybody, even to our colleagues, is that every liters of petrols that we burn is actually generating 2.36 kilo of CO2. Of course, we cannot see it through the air, but there is a formulations where it's actually 1 liter producing 2.36 kilo of CO2. For instance, at our scooter, when you run 100 kilometers per charge, it's equivalent to you're using 3 liters of petrol for the normal combustion bikes. So you just imagine that running 100 kilometers, you can save how much CO2? That is like times 3 of 2.36 kilo. So definitely, when you talk about environment, the climate change, these are the one of the important criteria that people must be aware of it. We always take it for granted that our air quality is good, it's nice. But comparing 15 years back, when I ride motorbikes on the road, you still feel that the environment is nice and clean. But today, every weekend, I still ride bikes. You will feel that very big particles like dust hitting on your face. So the environment are changing right now.
You ride your electric bikes?
Yes, I do ride my electric bikes.
Okay. So there's always this chicken and egg conundrum. Do charging stations come first or do the vehicles come first? So where is Malaysia when it comes to electric vehicles and electric motorbikes in your case? Are there enough charging stations?
I would say that from the Eclimo standpoint, when we design the scooters, we take this into considerations. That's why our bikes charging is using the tripping plugs, the normal plugs where you can find anywhere. There's a joke to it whereby when people say that when you ride halfway without juice or without energy, where you going to charge it? Everywhere we have electricity. You go to any of the neighborhood to borrow a plug, you can charge it. But not petrol bikes. Petrol bikes still have to push to a petrol station. So it's already in the considerations of when we design the bike, it can be charged or it can be implemented very easily for the tripping plugs. Then we come back to our federal government's blueprint for electric vehicle, especially KETA have put in a lot of efforts. We have already have a blueprint of putting electric vehicles on the road, whereby they are talking about electric cars, electric bus, electric bikes. So I'm in the electric bikes, two-wheelers category.
So there's a blueprint, but whether or not there's a push, you know, whether there's execution to it. Because electric vehicles, they're all the rage now, thanks to technology and the whole strive for sustainable living, better environment. But there is a view that the industry still needs the support of governments and to push through these policies. Like, look at Norway, and there's also China now. China is really going big into this. They're pushing their policies towards the electric vehicle story, right? So, but do you think government support and policy, how much of that needs to be pushed through for this whole theme of electric vehicles to succeed?
Yeah, of course, this is talking about chicken and egg, the car come first or the charger come first. There are already car manufacturers gearing themselves to implement electric vehicle, but we can see that plug-in hybrid is already available, whereby they are also utilizing the charging infrastructure. So Ministry of KETA, where they already put up some charging station along highways or in the mall, where we can actually make use of it. But it's not a lot where they already start implementing it. This is on the government side. But for Eclimo, obviously is that we definitely need the... for instance, like when we roll out to KFC, it's so easy for them to just do an extension. Every outlets where they have the bikes, they just do an extension cable to put in the waterproof tripping plug, where they just put out the plug from our bike and plug in and it can charge. For bikes, we have to take into the considerations of the charging infrastructure. We have done that. But when it comes to the heavy vehicles like cars and bus, where I believe that there is also the drive of our ministry and our governments to do that.
Are Malaysians ready for electric vehicles? Do you see market sentiment picking up towards these vehicles? Because you're in the industry, you should get a feel of that on the ground.
Right now, I would say that everyone would like to drive Tesla. Tesla is there in the market, but unfortunately, they are not in Malaysia yet. They already, I can see that especially this 1 year, there are a lot more people having interest on going on electric vehicle. Not because of it's something that is nice. Definitely, it's nice to drive, but the driving force for people to go into hybrids or electric, it's you actually can save costs. First thing is the maintenance, and you don't have to put petrol. Of course, there's also questions of after 5 years or after 8 years, I have to change battery. That is costly. But if you look at it along the way, it's definitely cheaper to use electric vehicles than a combustion vehicle. So this is proven, but the question raised is because the moment that you want to change battery, they have to fork out a hefty sum. But you take it as a long run, it's definitely cheaper to use electric vehicle than combustion.
But the cost of an electric vehicle, the actual, like when I go and buy one, the affordability factor, I think it's not there yet.
I believe that if you look at past 2 to 3 years, the Malaysia governments implement where electric vehicles is exempted from excise duty. That's where, during that time, hybrid cars are cheaper than combustion cars. So after that, they came up with another policy of those who interested to manufacture or assemble the cars here, they can still get exempted from the excise duty. Where if you still fully imported, you are just based on the normal excise duty charges. So these are the encouragements of the governments where to actually pull the foreign companies to manufacture or assembly their cars here in order for them to enjoy the exemption of excise duty.
When it comes to electric vehicles, it's still very much dominated by electric cars. By 2025, 20% of cars are expected to have electric engines compared to 5% today. So where do electric bikes stand in this? And do you think your business will have scale?
I would say that, you see, today with the technologies of Internet of Things, like IoT, the data, big data, the directions of these technologies that are coming in, people are not just using vehicle as a transport. This will give additional values to the user who use the vehicles. So, for instance, that GPS is one of the area where you can able to know where we are going with this implementation of GPS and IoT. So a lot more value that with this technology evolve, the lot more value that you actually can get it owning the vehicle, not just using the vehicle from point A to point B, there will be a lot more value to it. So this technology is coming in place, and I would say that this will give additional values to the user.
I've been speaking to Dato' Dennis Chua. Dennis, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.